people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Chad Taylor, the Argentina Network, and the guest we were planning on hasn't called in. So it's just going to be you and me. I have nothing planned. We'll do open lines. And anything you'd like to talk about, we'll talk about. Our number, 877-254-7524. And it sounds like perhaps our guest is here. Who's on the line?
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Stan.
Oh, well, it's our good friend David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney, from the Institute of the Constitution, and we'll be talking about the document that is the foundation of America. Basically, our concepts in America are different than those than any other country in the world. And they're centered around the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and if you understand the background of these, of course, the Bill of Rights, which was appended to the Constitution after it was ratified, this is the foundation of the freedom that we enjoy. Why is America different than other nations? Because in America, we acknowledge that our rights don't come from the government or from the king or the emperor or from the ruler. Our rights come from God. We will be ruled by God. And that's what it says in the Declaration of Independence, and that the governments are instituted among men to preserve our God-given rights. Now, that's, of course, why those who would enslave us, who would establish a dictatorship in America, took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. How did they do that? Why? Simply the Masons took over the Supreme Court. President Reagan, President Roosevelt, and Truman were both Masons. And they packed the Supreme Court with Masons who would go along with the ancient plan of the ancient mystery religions, because modern-day Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions. And the ancient mystery religions have been planning for thousands of years to use our continent, our nation, to bring about their world government, which is why we have our troop station in 130 nations and 800 to 900 foreign military bases. But the first thing you had to do was destroy the religious foundation of this country. And that's why the Masons, who took control of the United States Supreme Court in 1941, that is why the Masons took God and prayer out of our nation and out of our schools, and why Christianity is under attack, and why they put their agents at the highest levels in our religious ceremonies to change the music and the message of the Christian church, so that they could ultimately then change America from a republic to a democracy and use our military and financial power to bring about the one world government, the ultimate goal of the ancient secret societies. And with that as a background, Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story of our Constitution and why it's so important.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And we've been talking about in previous months, Article 2 of our Constitution. Article 1 deals with the legislative branch, Congress, both houses of Congress. Article 2 with the executive branch. Article 3 deals with the judicial branch. So it's very appropriate, leading up here to the presidential election in November, to be talking about what does Article 2 do in terms of restricting the powers and the activity of the President of the United States. First, we need to remember the background for our founders was the experience of tyranny under King George III. Commonly, we don't think this way, but indeed a king was the executive branch of government in the English Constitution. There was a legislative branch that was, of course, Parliament, two houses of Parliament, House of Lords and House of Commons, and then, of course, the judiciary. But the king, both not only under King George III, but throughout English history, often the king would manipulate and control all the other branches of government and create a tyranny under himself alone. And indeed, if you read the details of our Declaration of Independence, there are complaints about the king talk about that he's overturned the duly elected legislative bodies in the colonies and disbanded them. And he has put the judges, the judicial branch, completely under his thumb by controlling their appointment and their salary and all that sort of thing. So they experienced what it is to live under a tyrannical government that is centered in the executive branch. Understanding that, we need to remember that when they therefore created an executive branch, they were very careful to avoid that form of government that we would call a monarchy. There was only one who was kind of appealing to that move, and that was Alexander Hamilton, but he was shut down so much in the Constitutional Convention that he actually left at one point and did not complete the proceedings because the rest of the delegates in no way wanted to return to a form of government where you had all power centralized in the executive branch. If any of the branches were going to be the strongest, they intended that the legislative branch, representing the people, closest to the people, that would be the strongest of the three branches of government. Now, we talked previously about his powers and duties as president, commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy, but only when there's a legitimate declaration of war, that is a constitutional action on the part of Congress to declare war. And that's a two-year declaration of war that must be renewed every 2 years if it's to continue, that he is the commander-in-chief, but only at that point when there's no constitutional declaration of war, he's not the commander-in-chief, that he has no powers over the military during those times. And we talked about him making pardons for, in other words, a check against the judicial branch by being able to make pardons. And we then spoke about him making treaties. But the treaty-making power of the president is restricted again by the legislative branch, in this case by the Senate. It takes two-thirds of the Senate, that is a supermajority in the Senate, to ratify any treaty the president may have signed. Now, the funny thing is there, why just the Senate? Why not the House? Why wasn't the House's input required? And we look at the debate that took place in the Constitutional Convention. It was because the framers thought, if the House was involved in debating and ratifying treaties, this might jeopardize the executive secrecy often necessary in negotiating such treaties. And Federalist Paper number 64 by John Jay details that argument. And that's Federalist Paper number 64. So the structure is, yes, treaties can be entered into, but only with a supermajority of the Senate. And then we need to remember the Senate, as designed by our founders, was under the full control of the state legislators. The state legislature in each of the states appointed their senators for a term of 6 years, but at any moment during that 6 years, they could be instantly recalled by their state legislature and replaced.
Because hold that thought, David. Hold that thought. And that was such an important thing. The Senate was not answerable to the people. They didn't want the people to vote themselves to tear it. Right back.
On March the 3rd, 2005, KHNC 1360 AM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until April the 1st, 2013. Our license will expire on April the 1st, 2013, and we must file an application for renewal with the FCC by December the 1st, 2012. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by March the 1st, 2013. Further information concerning the FCC broadcast license renewal process is available at the studios of KHNC Radio, 2 South Parish, Johnstown, Colorado, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
You have a clear choice between two very different visions for the future. With Barack Obama, you're looking at more of what got us into this mess. Mitt Romney offers a real plan to get America moving in the right direction again.
Let me tell you how I'll create 12 million jobs when President Obama couldn't. First, my energy independence policy means more than 3 million new jobs, many of them in manufacturing. My tax reform plan to lower rates for the middle class and for small business creates 7 million more. And expanding trade, cracking down on China, and improving job training takes us to over 12 million new jobs.
Mitt Romney will do what Barack Obama couldn't. It's clear, we simply can't afford 4 more years of Barack Obama.
I'm Mitt Romney, I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and most people don't understand that when the Constitution was established, why the members of the Senate were not elected by the people. They were appointed by the state governments. Why? Because they represent the states, not the people. Why? Because our founding fathers knew that it is only human nature for people to vote for people, elected officials, who will give them something. We all would like government to provide for our health and for our education and welfare. To take the money from somebody else and give it to us, it's only human nature. And our founding fathers did not want the American people to vote themselves into slavery by giving additional power to the federal government. So the Senate was not to represent the people, not to represent people who would be elected, or to give special favors and special privileges to the average individual. To take money from one person and give it to another, well, of course, that's what they're doing today. The only trouble is they're not taking money from one person and giving it to another. They're simply borrowing the money, borrowing massive amounts of money that can never be repaid and will ultimately lead to the bankruptcy of this country. And this is being done intentionally. The people who converted us from a republic to a democracy, and the Senate from being appointed by the state governments to being elected by the people so that they would go right along with this whole agenda of destruction of America. This is well underway today. Any government that can provide for people from the cradle to the grave must be able to control them. That's what the dictatorship's about. That is what is upon us today. And the average American has no idea how this all came about. Go right ahead, Pastor David.
Well, thank you. Yes, and so the Senate being really an outreach, in a sense, an extension of the state legislatures, when it came to ratifying treaties, no treaty would be ratified unless the states were in agreement, a supermajority of the states. That is, two-thirds of the states were instructing their senators, yes, vote for this treaty. I dare say there's many so-called treaties that we've entered into that never would have been entered into had the states had that kind of control. Since the 17th Amendment eliminated that control, we've had all kinds of egregious violations. For example, the UN treaty, the treaty that brought us into the UN, I believe that never would have been ratified had the 17th Amendment not passed, taking away the power of state legislators to instruct their senators how to vote. And if the senators would not vote in accordance, then to remove those senators and replace them with those who would do the will of the state legislators. Now, the court, in complete violation of the Constitution, because the court can't make law, the court cannot amend the Constitution. Nonetheless, the court, going ahead in its wicked ways, has done so, basically creating exceptions to this restriction that treaties can only be made with a concurrence of two-thirds of the senators. For example, they've said, oh, commercial treaties don't require two-thirds of the senators. Instead, they just require a simple majority of both the House of Representatives and the Senate. So NAFTA was supposedly ratified this way, and GATT was ratified this way. All these treaties that have stripped our manufacturing and shipped our jobs overseas, these were done in an unconstitutional manner, which tells us they are against the law. They are unlawful acts. In fact, if we had a Congress or a president who were willing to follow their oath of office to uphold the Constitution, they would immediately say GATT and NAFTA and all these illegal commercial treaties are not law, and we will not abide by them. They were not passed constitutionally with a supermajority of the senators required to pass them. Instead, they were done unconstitutionally with a simple majority in the Senate and in the House. Well, the court said, oh, these are legitimate, but that is illegal. The court was violating the Constitution. They have no power to amend the Constitution, but effectively that's what it stands today as our government has followed these illegal actions, and NAFTA and GATT are unconstitutional, and yet our government acts as if they are constitutional in this day. The other thing the court has done is created a whole new category that, again, is not here in the Constitution, not in Article 2 at all, and that is the court has said that executive agreements entered into by the president with the heads of other states, so other presidents, they come to an executive agreement, that these don't fit into the category at all, and therefore they don't require concurrence of either branch of or either house of Congress. So neither the Senate nor the House has to vote on them or approve them or ratify them. The executive agreements stand as law simply because the president has entered into these. That is so violative of our founders' vision. They knew you don't give the executive branch unchecked power. This is unchecked power. And furthermore, there's no amendment to the Constitution that gives the executive this power. Instead, you have wicked men in black robes making decisions to amend the Constitution unconstitutionally. They didn't follow the amendment process. They didn't go through passing an amendment and then, you know, through both houses and then on to the states for ratification. It's completely illegal. And so all of these executive agreements entered by our presidents are illegal, unconstitutional, and in fact, they are grounds for impeachment. We'll talk about impeachment a little bit further, but the proper response, both to the judges who said this, the court could create these exceptions, those judges should have been impeached, and any president who acted on unconstitutional exceptions created by the courts, that president should be impeached as well because he has violated his oath of office. So the president has power under Article 2, Section 2 to make treaties with the concurrence of two-thirds of the senators. In addition, Article 2, Section 2 speaks of his power to appoint Supreme Court justices, appoint ambassadors for our country to other nations, and to appoint major federal office holders. And all these appointments are, of course, with the advice and consent of a Senate majority. Here it's a simple majority, not a supermajority, to approve of these appointments for Supreme Court, for ambassadors, as well as other major federal office holders. And Congress, both houses, can authorize the president to appoint lower federal officers without Senate approval. So there's a dividing line there at some point where beneath that dividing line, the president can make appointments without the Senate actually approving those appointments. But above that line, all the appointments by the president must go through Senate approval. Now,
well, I think it's so important for people to understand that our founding fathers did not want an all-powerful executive. They didn't want a king, an emperor. They did not want a ruler. They did not want a dictator. They wanted certainly an executive that would carry out the directives of the legislature, and of course he was subject to them. Yes, somebody had to be running things, but he was to be subject to them. He was not to be all-powerful. He was not to be the most powerful man in the world, as is the President of the United States today. This was exactly the opposite of what our founding fathers wanted, because they knew that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone, no matter how well motivated they may be, or if they are truly diabolical and have an intense hatred of America, as our current president. Why, of course, what a terrible thing has happened to this country. And where is the outcry from our religious leaders and from our political leaders? Why, it's deafening in its silence. Go right ahead, Pastor Whitney.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the other option that's available to the president in terms of appointments that Article 2, Section 2 refers to is that during recess of the Senate, that without Senate approval, the president can appoint justices, ambassadors, and cabinet officials when the Senate is in recess, and these officials will cease to hold office at the end of the Senate's next term if the Senate does not confirm them. These are called the recess appointments. The idea was that early on, our Senate only met 3 or 4 months of the year at the most. It was a part-time job. They spent most of their year back in the district that they represented because they had a full-time job, so to speak, and they were coming to Washington just for a few months out of the year to serve. And so there was a lengthy period of time before the Senate would convene again to provide for an appointment that was needed. And so they wanted to give the president this recess power because the Senate didn't meet that often. Now, today we have the tragedy of having Congress meet year-round virtually. You know, they take a month off here and there, but virtually it's a full-time job year-round, not the way our founders designed it. And it's a huge mistake to have a full-time legislature in Washington, D.C., creating I've got a book recently here called Three Felonies a Day. One attorney has sat down and studied the federal code and said, on average, every American commits three felonies a day because of the amount of laws created by Washington, D.C. that make us all felons. No, we're not all felons. That's not the point of the book. The point of the book is our government is way out of control, creating way more legislation and laws than we can ever possibly knowledgeable of. And of course, if you dragged it to court, it said, wow, you know, ignorance is no excuse. You didn't know that this was a law. That's your fault. Now we're going to throw you in prison for it. So we have a government way out of control, and this was never the design of our founders, and that's why this recess appointment was created. It's interesting to see the brouhaha, several recess appointments have taken place here when actually the Senate was not technically in recess. So the President Obama, the supposed President Obama, was making recess appointments when the Senate was not in recess, just the end of last year. Remember that brouhaha over that. And I think that's an impeachable offense. How can he make recess appointments when the Senate is not in recess? Yet they have let him get away not only with that violation of the law, but many, many multitude of other violations of the law. Well, when we move to Section 3 of Article 2, it speaks about the powers as well as the ceremonial duties of the president. Again, they wanted to be very clear. The powers of the president were to be confined. They were not to be expansive. He could not define the limits of his powers. The limits were defined by the Constitution, by these words on paper. And he was to give information to Congress. Usually this would be traditionally a State of the Union address. It held no legal force, but would help kind of set the tone for things. And by the way, this address was, up until the 20th century, primarily this address was not in person. The president would write a letter, and the letter would be read by the Senate pro tem or whoever in the Senate was to read that correspondence, and it would be a read address to the joint houses of Congress rather than a big brouhaha that it is today. And Congress could also require at other times that the president would give them information. The president could never introduce any legislation. Look at the contrast with today, where Obamacare and other things are highly influenced by what the executive branch wants. No, that was never to be the way. He could recommend an idea, but all the details and the origin of the bill itself could not come from the executive branch. They were not going to return to what the King of England was doing, acting as the legislative branch under King George III. They were not going to have that. Yet today we're right into that same trap where the executive branch has enormous powers that it abuses, and unconstitutional powers, by the way, because these restrictions of the Constitution still stand. They are still the supreme law of our land, even though they are being violated day in and day out. They are being violated because, well, we'll talk about impeachment here in a moment, violated and getting away with violating it because the system set up by our founders to stop those violations is not being followed by the legislative branch. Well, just continuing here in the powers and ceremonial duties in Section 3 of Article 2, that he could convene emergency sessions of Congress. Then, again, when Congress was only meeting 3 or 4 months of the year, if there was an act of war against our country, he would need to convene Congress in an emergency session for considering a declaration of war, things like that. They recognized because Congress was not a full-time job. He was also to receive foreign ambassadors, and he was to faithfully execute all the laws of the United States, that is, the constitutional laws of the United States, not things like National Defense Authorization Act, which is filled with unconstitutional actions. No, he was to be a check against unconstitutional legislation by vetoing it, and if his veto was overridden, he was to say, still, this is not constitutional. I will not enforce unconstitutional laws. That was the role that he was to play as a check against unconstitutional actions on the part of Congress, faithfully to execute all the laws, and then also under Section 3 to commission all federal officers. And, by the way, they were with substantially the same oath that the president himself takes to support the Congress.
Hold that thought, David. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
You have a clear choice between two very different visions for the future. With Barack Obama, you're looking at more of what got us into this mess. Mitt Romney offers a real plan to get America moving in the right direction again.
Let me tell you how I'll create 12 million jobs when President Obama couldn't. First, my energy independence policy means more than 3 million new jobs, many of them in manufacturing. My tax reform plan to lower rates for the middle class and for small business creates 7 million more. And expanding trade, cracking down on China, and improving job training takes us to over 12 million new jobs.
Mitt Romney will do what Barack Obama couldn't. It's clear we simply can't afford 4 more years of Barack Obama.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Ann back there at the American Freedom Network. And before we go on, I want you to know how you can get in touch with Pastor David Whitney and the Institute of the Constitution. Hopefully you'll get a home kit. You'll begin teaching the Constitution as people are all across America. Now, you're not hearing about this. The media's control. The last thing they want you to know is that there is a rising groundswell of support for the Constitution, those concepts which once made America the envy of the world, that is, before the wicked people took control and certainly took over total control of our government. And instead of using our Constitution as the foundation of our freedom, they have eroded the concepts that restricted the power of the federal government and expanded its power so they could control everyone in this country in the dictatorial power. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Go right ahead, David. How can people get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, get a kit, and begin teaching the Constitution in their home, their church, their community?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we've put together what we call a host kit because we know it's kind of intimidating, the thought of actually teaching other people the Constitution in 12 lectures. And there's a student notebook that goes along with an outline of each lecture as well as test questions to follow up each lecture, a host manual that gives the person hosting the class the answers to each of these test questions, as well as tips on how to conduct a class. Everything you need in this host kit will give you what you need to communicate with your fellow citizens. And we ought to start with our own families, training them. We ought to take it to our churches and hold classes in our churches where people can learn what it means to be a Christian citizen and what those responsibilities entail. And this is a perfect time to do it as we're leading up to the election. And people can purchase our host kit by going to, or actually calling us toll-free. Our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or if you want to go to our website, easy to remember, it's one word, The American View, all is one word, theamericanview.com. Right there on the very first page, you'll see a button to click for getting a host kit or for finding out information about how to take our course online. All the same videos, all the same student materials, all the test questions, all the supplemental reading as well as supplemental videos, everything is online for people to take in the comfort of their own home. So if people go to our website, theamericanview.com, they can get either on board with the online course or they can order our host kit or check out our store because there's hundreds of other materials that we provide to help people understand the details of our Constitutional Republic, understand what it is that our founders structured in creating this limited form of government, a constitutional republic where no one is above the law, everyone is to obey the law, and elected officials are to take an oath that is swearing before Almighty God, endangering their immortal soul. They're to do that to see to it that they follow the law and that God will ultimately hold them accountable when they violate that oath of office. So either call us toll-free, 866-730-9796, or go to our website, theamericanview.com, and start the process of educating not only yourself and your family, your friends, fellow churchgoers, people in your community to take back America. That's where we must start. It's certainly not the end point, but it is the starting point.
Well, that people care enough about freedom that they will first learn our Constitution and then get others to learn it, and hopefully those people who understand our form of government will get involved in the political process. We're going to have to take America back from the bottom up, not from the top down. The top down is controlled by the Brotherhood of Darkness that controls both political parties. Both of our political candidates today, presidential candidates, are globalists. Both of them are committed to foreign wars. Both of them are going right along with this concept of expanding the power of the federal government. And so there is no way we can have freedom as long as we have people in Washington, D.C. who do not abide by the Constitution, who believe the government can run our economy and create jobs. Government can't create jobs. Cut the taxes. Cut government regulations. Cut massive government spending so that we can have a balanced budget and abide by the Constitution. 90% of the laws we have on our books today are unconstitutional, and nobody has the courage to say it. Go right ahead, Pastor Whitney.
Well, when we talk about the violations of the Constitution, when those violations take place, there is a response, and that response should be impeachment. And this applies not just to the president, but also the vice president, in fact, to all civil officers. It also applies to the Supreme Court, as well as all the federal courts. Impeachment is the process of removing someone from office who has violated their oath of office. And the oath of office taken by everyone is to defend and support the Constitution. That is, when they act unconstitutionally, they should be impeached. And impeachment was designed to be that tool that would discipline those who act unconstitutionally, remove them from office so that they cannot continue the unconstitutional actions that they have engaged in. The grounds for impeachment are threefold: treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, including, by misdemeanors, violations of this contract we, the people, have entered into with our civil government, violations of this Constitution. Treason would be taking action specifically against your own country, and I think of the impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton for high crimes, misdemeanors, sexual misconduct, and while that was an interesting story, the real thing that was going on was hiding his treason, where he committed treason by receiving campaign cash from the Chinese in exchange, selling off our military secrets. That's treasonous, and he should have been impeached for that treason. Instead, people were titillated with the stories of Monica, but the real crime committed by Clinton and committed by other presidents as well has been treason against our own country, people who are subverting our country. As you're saying, Dr. Stan, the whole Brotherhood of Darkness is in control of both political parties, of both major candidates today, and the candidates in the last election, the candidates in the election before that. So the treasonous traitors to our country are the ones who are being put in the highest offices of our land, not only in the White House, but certainly in the Senate, as well as the House of Representatives, and on the Supreme Court. We have traitors of the highest degree that ought to be impeached. Well, the procedure for impeachment runs in this fashion. The House of Representatives begins the impeachment process, and they will draw up articles of impeachment, that is, specific charges against the individual being impeached, charges of treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors. And as those are drawn up, it takes a simple majority in the House of Representatives to approve and to ratify, in a sense, that impeachment. So when the impeachment takes place is when the House, majority in the House, votes on these articles of impeachment. If any one of the articles of impeachment is voted on by more than 51% of the House, then impeachment has taken place.
Okay, hold that thought, David. We'll be back in a moment. Anybody has a question for our guest? Oh, it's 877-254-7524.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Trace Margaritas and Greeley would like to take this time to say thank you to all the brave men and women in the armed forces who have served our country. Know that your dedication, selflessness, and courage are appreciated. Business owners, consider hiring veterans, our most valuable resource. May God bless America. This message from Trace Margaritas, 2319 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 378-6662. Proud to salute all the past and present members of our military service.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. And David, you go right ahead.
So the impeachment process begins in the House of Representatives. Again, just a simple majority required. And when that majority votes to impeach, the 51% vote to impeach, then impeachment has taken place. This is often misunderstood by Americans who say, well, you know, Clinton wasn't impeached because they didn't remove him from office. Well, no. Impeachment is what happens in the House, and as soon as they have voted on any one of the articles of impeachment, 51%, then impeachment has taken place. Now, those articles of impeachment then are sent over to the Senate, and the Senate actually holds the trial. That is, in a sense, you could say, if you're thinking of it in a judicial frame of reference, the prosecuting attorney is the House of Representatives. They say, here's the charges that we bring against this individual, here's their high crimes and misdemeanors, here's their treason, here's their bribery. And so they bring these charges to the Senate, and the Senate actually holds the trial. When the Senate votes, however, to remove someone from office, it must require two-thirds. In other words, a supermajority must be voting to remove them from office. And so when that takes place, then a person is actually removed from office after being impeached. The trial itself, conducted in the Senate, is overseen by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He's presiding to see that, basically, as a good umpire, just to see that the process of debate runs smoothly and that every aspect of judicial process is treated rightly in how the trial is conducted. Now, when we look at the history of impeachment, it's actually only technically been used two times against presidents of these United States. Andrew Johnson, following the war that I like to call the war to prevent Southern independence. Well, in 1868, in the Reconstruction era, there was great debates about how the South was going to be treated, or I might say mistreated. And Andrew Johnson didn't go along with some of the radical Republicans who wanted to continue to terrorize the South even further. So he was impeached by the House, but when it came to the Senate trial, the Senate fell one vote short of removing him from office. A 35-19 vote was taken. So, again, that supermajority means to actually remove someone from office is a more difficult task than actually just charging them with an article of impeachment, which in the House just requires 51%. The other, of course, we've spoken of already, William Jefferson Clinton, 1998, impeached by the House, two articles of impeachment passed the House. He was tried by the Senate, and he was acquitted on February 12, 1999. In Article 1, the vote was 45-55. Article 2 was a 50-50 vote, again, in both cases falling short of the two-thirds majority required. The supermajority was not obtained in either one of those cases. And if you were studying or reading any of the details about that, you recognize there was a lot of chicanery, and I don't think those senators were actually voting what was based on the evidence presented to them. It appears to me that they were just voting politically how they thought their party wanted them to vote, or perhaps some large contributors wanted them to vote. Again, here's the danger of having a Senate that is not at the beck and call of the state legislators. If the Senate, prior to the 17th Amendment as it was, if the Senate was answerable to the state legislators, the impeachment process and the trial that would follow would be informed by the state legislators. They would want to know, what are the details? They would want to know, and they would want to inform their senators, look, we see evidence here that high crimes and misdemeanors have been committed by the president, and we think your vote should be guilty. And, of course, now that we have supposedly popularly elected senators, which really doesn't mean the people have any control over their senators whatsoever, it means those who make the largest contributions to them, the special interests and the lobbyists, they have the biggest power. I remember with some friends of mine, some fellow pastors, once attempting to get an audience with the one or the other of the two senators for the state of Maryland. Very difficult, and ultimately we never got the audience. In fact, they wouldn't even send out a lowly lackey when we showed up at the office having put in request after request. They don't care about the people. They pay no attention to what the people have to say or what the concerns of the people are, because they know the people don't pay their paycheck. The people don't keep them in office. The people don't put them in office. So the whole myth of popularly elected senators is a farce. They are there as beholden to the powers that have put them in office with the money and contributed to their campaigns and so on. So it's been used two times against presidents. People often say, well, what about Richard Nixon? Wasn't he impeached? Well, in 1974, Nixon resigned while the House was preparing articles of impeachment. Now, the House never got to voting on those articles of impeachment that were being prepared because Nixon resigned before those articles could actually be voted upon. So technically, Richard Nixon was not impeached, although certainly the impeachment process is what caused him to resign. And again, our founders foresaw that this was a possibility, that if you know, they could read the handwriting on the wall, some might rather just resign. And again, the whole idea here is this process of impeachment would promote stability, providing an orderly means of removing officials from office without bloodshed. Certainly, our founders knew the history of Europe. They knew the history of not only England, but many other countries where enormous civil wars erupted in removing someone from office who is violating the law, violating the Constitution, violating the God-given rights of the people. A very difficult process to remove someone from office bloodlessly. And that's what they wanted to design this process of impeachment for. Well, not only presidents have been impeached, but on the federal level, 11 other times federal officials have been impeached. This includes 9 judges, 1 senator, and 1 cabinet official. Now, it's interesting, with the senator, he was actually acquitted because the Senate, and I believe they ruled correctly in this regard, the Senate ruled that Congress lacked jurisdiction to impeach a senator. According to our Constitution in Article 1, the property remedy would be expulsion. Article 1, Section 5, and Clause 2 speaks about both the House and the Senate setting up their rules and disciplining their own members so that when the member is out of line, then the House or the Senate actually votes to remove their own member. So, yes, impeachment's not the appropriate process for removing a senator or a congressman from their office. In the other case, the Senate actually acquitted all but 4 of those 9 impeachments, and the 4 that were actually removed from office were actually federal judges. So when you look at the history of this, you say, well, wait a minute, that's not very many over the course of 225 years. Only 4 actually removed from office.
We'll be back. David, thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next time.
God bless you and your work, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Fact. Today, the national debt is more than $16 trillion. That's more than $50,000 for every man, woman, and child. Fact. After nearly 4 years in office, President Obama's policies have resulted in the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression. Fact. Over 220,000 Coloradans can't find work, and our unemployment rate is higher than the national average. Fact. Obama. We simply can't afford 4 more years. Mitt Romney has a plan. Listen.
My plan is to help the middle class in America. I want it to be the best time for the middle class of America.
Mitt Romney will repeal Obamacare and increase access to domestic energy resources. He'll cut taxes, cut spending, and champion small businesses, creating 12 million new jobs.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had the chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Dr. McMahon, here at American Success this morning. David Whitney, I hope you'll give a serious consideration to getting a kit, an educational kit, and begin teaching the Constitution, the foundation of our freedom, because if people don't understand where freedom comes from, they're doomed to lose it. Well, this is a time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is putting on an all-day seminar. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here in the Central Coast of California, as we have every year for, 15 years or more. And we do hope, if you're any way you could possibly come, that you'll attend. Certainly, we're going to start at 8:15 in the morning, go through till 6 in the evening. We're bringing in speakers from across America. And, of course, you have to have reservations because we're serving lunch. So if you can make it, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. But we have to know this week. We have to know by next Monday for certain, because they have to know how many people are coming for lunch. And then, of course, I hope if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll get it, because it crystallizes what is really going on. The fact that there are powerful supernatural forces at work in our society. If you believe that the Bible certainly represents the Word of God, and you read it, why, you'll find all sorts of supernatural things that took place, and supernatural things are taking place today, things that just don't make sense. We have a young woman over in Israel who certainly reports to us on a monthly basis. She says that all sorts of Jewish people are leaving America and going to Israel, leaving their home, their security, their job here, moving to Israel, and they don't even know why. She talks to them at the airport when they come in, and they say, well, I don't know why we're moving to Israel and we're going to try to get a job and a home here. We just feel this is what we're supposed to do. And of course, that is not a normal or rational thing. It is because these people are being drawn to Israel by truly supernatural powers. We're moving into a crisis situation. The America we have known is not going to exist in the future. There's no way we can pay off the massive debt, which is not $16 trillion. It's about $81 trillion. Go to JohnWilliamsShadowStats.com website. Find out what's really happening economically. We are in a recession. We're moving towards a depression. The whole economic system is going to be destroyed. They're going to destroy the value of our currency. The inflation rate's about 10% at the present time, and it's going to be much higher next year. And we're moving into a war with the Muslim world. It is all being planned, ladies and gentlemen. The Muslim Brotherhood was created by the intelligence agencies and is dominated and funded by the CIA today, the best enemy money could buy. If you want to know what's going on, you need to get the book, The Devil's Game. It tells about how the CIA funds the Muslim Brotherhood. You need to get the book, America's Nazi Secret, America's Nazi Secret, how American corporations and American banks funded the Nazis not only before, but during World War II. So we'd have a long and bloody war. And of course, the ultimate goal was world government. And when that world government didn't come about after the Second World War, then World War III became the inevitable. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Go there. You can listen to our programs live or archived 24 hours a day. You can certainly hear or watch our DVDs and other DVDs we post to read our newsletters. But please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. Our petition is expected for tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and